If you're still waiting for a sign, here's another one. At California Psychics, we reject 98% of the psychics who apply to work for us. So we only connect you with the best. That's how we can guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And right now, new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. If that's not a sign, I don't know what is. Dramatic sound effect incoming. Experience the joy of certainty at CaliforniaPsychics.com.
Take Command Podcast Super 2025 Preview Edition. Again, all football on the show today. If you want more on the RFK Stadium latest and all of the news around that, I actually have an update from when we started recording, Logan. You ready for this?
Yeah.
The one, the only, John Keim is going to join me on the radio today at 5 o'clock.
Love
so
that.
If you are listening to this before 5 o'clock on Tuesday, make sure that you tune in then. If you're listening to this after, or you're not going to be available in this same place that you're listening right now, you can listen to the Hoffman Show podcast after the interview happens. So no matter where you get your pods, we're in all the same places. So you can check out Keim and I. We'll do some football stuff too. But if you want more on kind of what's going on with the RFK Stadium deal, Keim will join me at 5 o'clock today. So with that said, let's talk about the offense, Logan. I think the big storyline for those people that haven't been listening all offseason, tuning back in, like I need my training camp preview, is we think that on first and second down, they are better built to be sustainable this year. Last year, they figured a lot of stuff out on third and fourth down. I assume they'll be super aggressive on fourth down again. Chances that they're like the best fourth down team ever 2 years in a row don't seem very high from a likelihood standpoint, but you know, Jaden was really good in those situations. So I do think they'll probably still be up there in terms of success rate on fourth down this year. But the offensive line, they clearly figured out how to work around last year. And they were like, what happens if we don't have to work around it? What if it's a feature, not a bug that we're having to patch all the time? And that, I think, is the biggest setup outside of like how good is Jaden Daniels in year two and what happens with Terry McLaurin to the 2025 Commanders offense.
Yeah, that offensive line is definitely like a huge storyline for sure. And I think everyone on paper, I think you and I both are like really encouraged by the athleticism that they've gained. You know, Laremy Tunsil, Brandon Coleman, a guard, Biotish coming back, you know, being able to take Allegretti, Wiley in Cosby's absence and put him in there. And then Connerly Jr., like the athlete that he is, like that's really exciting. I think the thing that I just am probably most compelled by with this group is two things. One is, how does the offense change now that you have this great offensive line or this more athletic offensive line? And two, and maybe more importantly, how does that group come together, right? Because like I've played a part, you know, with offensive lines that on paper were not very good, but on the field are very good, right? Because they just, it's five people. And I was talking with an offensive line coach that I have a lot of respect for, and he was saying, like, it's a hard job because you got to get five people to see it the same exact way. And sometimes, like, with different personalities and different study habits, like, that doesn't always happen. So, you know, I'm really curious to see if they can get that done. Like, and, you know, Coach Johnson did a great job last year. Cliff did a great job last year of kind of helping that group come along. But to me, like, that is the main storyline. Because on paper, you say, man, like athlete wise, like they've invested draft capital. They've built this thing the way you have to build an elite offensive line. Like this is all good. This is going to help Jaden Daniels. It's going to help the pass game. It's going to help the run game. And that's a big, and I don't think that's a crazy assertion, but to me, it's really like week three of training camp. How do these dudes look during team blitz on the field? Because if they're not coming together, like all of these positive things that we've talked about are going to be a little bit more muted because we got to kind of go back to some of the stuff we were doing last year.
Yeah, for sure. Jaden was unbelievable against the blitz last year. Mm-hmm. Just like historically great for a rookie. So that is something that where it's like, just be decent against the blitz as an O-line. Don't have a direct kill shot immediately. Mm-hmm. And Jaden will probably figure it out. Is assuming that he can be as good again in year two as he was in year one. Another thing that I pulled from the FTN Almanac that I thought was interesting, we talk about the athleticism of the offensive line. They ran outside zone at the lowest rate of any team in the league last year, which is I'll ask you, like, what do you make of that? Because it feels like to me they had an identity. It's like, we're going to run a lot of this gap scheme stuff and like we're going to own it. Teams caught on a little bit later in the year. Also, some of the linemen were banged up and it became a little less effective because guys weren't playing as well. And injury was a part of that. Even if guys weren't out, they just didn't have the pop, the power, right, the athleticism to run some of the bounce, some of the GT, some of the, you know, whatever they were running. But I think that's interesting. And they had the identity. Like, how much do they lean back into that same identity and own it this year versus the ability to change it up and kind of establish a new identity for a 2025 Commanders offense?
I think that goes back to one of those fan questions we had, whatever that was, a couple weeks ago, about how much under center work do they want to be in, right? Or how much pistol work, how much dot do they want to be in? Because I will say, like, outside zone from the gun is not a great play usually, right? It's just like the timing is a little bit weird. You need to kind of be creative. The angles aren't quite as good because the back's relationship, because like an outside zone, like you got the center, right? And think about if I'm in the gun, I'm the quarterback and the back's offset left and we're running outside zone right, because like it's really hard to run outside zone because I got to pitch it to that left side, right? The back has to cross my body, and usually a good rule of thumb for outside zone is you want to stack the center. So how quickly can the back stack the center? And so automatically when they're an offset gun, like that's really hard to do, right? Because like he's got to really either run fast laterally, which is not great because outside zone, one of the things is you're running downhill laterally so you can put your foot in the ground and fall forward. So it's just not a great, in my opinion, I'm sure you could find somebody who loves outside zone from the gun. In my opinion, not a great play. So to me, what are you going to lean into? You're going to lean into the tight zone, going to lean into gap scheme stuff. And if you think about it, like, how do we protect those runs? You get into RPO, you get into zone read, you get into variations on the pin pull stuff. Like our trap kind of looks like our bounce, and so they fit it differently. You know what I'm saying? So like, that's where I think the advantage is. And I do think you'll probably see a lot of the same stuff from a run. I'm sure you'll see wrinkles because Cliff's a smart guy. Coach Johnson's a smart guy. But I think you'll see a lot of the same stuff just because of how they've structured the offense, right? Like when you do not have tight ends attached, fullbacks attached, it becomes much harder to find angles if you're not running gap scheme stuff, in my opinion, right? And so I think that's where you'd say like they probably are going to be similar. Now, I do think that's okay because Brandon Coleman runs a 4.9, Laramie Tunsil runs a 4.9, Josh Connerly runs a 4.9. Like, you can get those guys in space into the perimeter in a way that is going to be advantageous. But I think that's just something to kind of keep an eye on from a football philosophy standpoint. So I think you're going to see a lot of the same stuff. It probably will be executed a little bit better because the athletes are better. And then I think you add on the pass protection element, which to me is the main thing that they're bringing, because we talked about being better on first, second down. Them being better in pass protecting situations is going to help you access the middle of the field a little bit more. So
yeah,
again, that's kind of where I think the real advantages of the offensive line improvements.
Yeah, I think what you just talked about of how the offense goes together, where it's like they can still, like, a lot of teams, why outside zone, or one of the reasons outside zone is so popular, is like it's one of the easiest actions to play action off of. Mm. Like, you get that nice extension. Oh, look, the ball. Oh, I pulled it. Now, you know, it takes a lot of time. That way receivers can get downfield. But like, Cliff did such a nice job last year of saying like, all right, well, we're going to do this like trap pop pass where it's like, it's trap, just kidding. Like, we're faking the handoff. Yeah. But now we've got the protection. We've got a good pocket. We've moved the pocket a little bit. Jaden's mobility is an asset here. You know, even off a tight zone, because Jaden can boot off of that. Like, he's got the mobility that we can still have a cohesive offense. And that allowed them to trick some of that stuff up. Now you have all that stuff still on the table, plus hopefully more just straight drop back where Jaden doesn't have to worry about getting his head blown off because they've got the better pass protection. I think that's a fascinating thing to watch from a structure standpoint, and we'll see how that holds up, obviously, fairly quickly. New York, again, week one, excellent defense, excellent front, so like they'll be challenged immediately. From a personnel standpoint, I think, you know, we should rehash quickly, like, if Terry is not here, which I don't think either of us think that is going to happen.
Right.
But like, that is a huge game changer offensively. He is their best downfield threat by a mile. He commands true number one attention. And he, to me, is the key to unlocking everything else in the pass game. Like, Debo is less effective if Terry is not there. Obviously, guys like Luke and on down the list, your Jalen Lanes, your Noah Browns, if he's got to take on some of that stuff, it's not going to work as well, and the attention is going to be different. And so some of the other things you're trying to do in the screen game and downfield passing, et cetera, just become, I don't want to say impossible, but they come much, much, much more difficult if Terry is unavailable. When it comes to McLaurin and the contract getting it done, like, how far into camp can this go before you're like, okay, we're having a serious effect on the season here?
I mean, that's a good question. I mean, I'd probably say all the way to week one, you know, if I'm being totally, like, knowing Terry in the limited, you know, my limited interaction with him, like, he's a pro's pro. He knows the offense, right? Like, you know, knowing his relationship with Jaden, like, I think they'll be able to figure it out. I'm sure Terry's in shape. You know, I think that's the other element that I would point to too. So I think all the way to week one, you'd probably be okay. I don't think it goes that long, but if it did, I think, you know, like, maybe there's a little rust week one, but just getting him on the field, having him run around, doing what he does well in terms of the physicality at the catch point, like, all that stuff's transferable. So I wouldn't be that concerned about it. But again, like, it's something that is definitely kind of looming over the team as you walk towards the season. Because again, like, he had a special year last year. He did a good job. And so, like, if you remove him from the equation, like, I do think you can survive, you know, with Noah Brown, but Noah Brown hasn't been healthy for a whole season basically ever, right? Debo Samuel, again, like, very special player, but very specific type of player, also has a little bit of an injury bug associated with him. So it becomes
Michael Gallup, same thing on down the list.
Yeah. So it becomes a really interesting group, because I do think it's a talented group, and I think it can offset, if Terry's not here, it can offset, but it's not the healthiest group, you know? And so I think that's where, like, kind of maybe it increases the urgency. I don't know, but I do like the receiving group. I think it's got a lot of playmakers. I think they complement each other really, really well. I think when Terry's there, it kind of, and Noah Brown and Debo, it kind of all falls into place really nicely. And it allows you to kind of say, oh, then Lane can have a specific role. Luke can have a specific role. And you're like, okay, all of a sudden I feel really good about it. But if one of those guys, Lane or Luke, is bumped up the depth chart for whatever reason, injury or, you know, anything you can think of, like, it, all of a sudden you're like, ah, man, I don't love him taking, you know, going from 15 snaps to 30 snaps because he's kind of learning on the job, which is a fine way to do it. And I think Jaden Daniels can offset some of that, but I think the group becomes much more, much less consistent, I think, with that. And I think, I'm not saying those players aren't going to be good, but I think there is a little bit of a drop off.
Yeah. Are there any players that you are really watching to take a jump or to maybe play a bigger role than people anticipate? So if I just run through some options here real quick, right? Like, you have all the running backs, and it would seem on paper that, like, Robinson, Eckler, McNichols, they're just back, but you have Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt coming in as a seventh rounder. We're not going to have any idea what he is really until farther into camp when they put the pads on and start doing some actual quasi as live as you're allowed to in the modern NFL running stuff. Obviously, I think there's a lot of eyes on Ben Sennett at the tight end spot, and what role does he carve out with Zach Ertz back and ready to do the Zach Ertz stuff? John Bates is going to do the John Bates stuff. Like, where does Sennett fit in? What is the Ben Sennett stuff? And I know that we could probably do another 30 minutes on the tight end room because you love everybody in that room. But then at the wide receiver spot, you've got Luke, you've got Jalen Lane. So, like, there's some interesting guys that have higher upside than certainly anything they've done in the league so far. In the rookie's case, they haven't done anything. But is there someone you're kind of watching you think could emerge into a significant role for this team on a regular basis, whether it's one of those guys or maybe one of the veterans that they've brought in that you don't think gets enough attention?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think the one guy of the guys you just mentioned is Ja'Cory Merritt. Like, he's the guy that, to me, and again, he's a rookie, so it's not like he's going to take a step necessarily, but he just, like, his college film is so good that I just feel like he's going to find a way into the rotation, into the conversation, let's say, right? And so, like, how much does he end up playing? I have no idea, but he feels like the guy that's kind of most poised to make waves. You know, you mentioned Ben Sennett. Like, I've talked about Zach Ertz and John Bates and the pros that I think they are and the professionals that they bring and how well they played last year. He's going to have to do a lot to get past those guys, right? And if obviously if there's an injury to one of them, like he's going to have to step in and kind of learn on the job also. I think Luke had a really nice offseason, like really nice offseason. So I think he might be closer than I originally thought, like when before the OTA minicamp cycle started. So he's a guy that I think is maybe scratching on like kind of starters kind of minutes. And so we'll see what happens there. But those are the three guys that I kind of look to and I say, you know, in order, it's probably Merritt, Luke, and then Ben in terms of guys that I think are going to make an impact this year. And again, if Zach gets hurt and Ben has a larger role, like I think he could have a larger role this year, but he just has a bigger mountain to climb because I think those two guys in front of him are doing so well. And we talked about with the receiver group, how there's a lot of injury history. There's, you know, kind of specialized roles. And I do think Luke is played a lot better in OTAs. So him getting opportunities would be great.
We talked about this in OTAs, but for those that were checked out for the offseason, like he looked like a different athlete. Like the on paper, Luke McCaffrey testing numbers, all that kind of stuff. You're like, wow, this is a pretty special athlete. And then you saw that speed, you saw the quickness, like you saw all that stuff show up in training camp or in OTAs in a way that we just didn't see for him as a rookie. Like the game was fast for him. And now it's like, oh, he's fast for the game. And so if that translates into regular season play, I think that's really exciting. The other, obviously, the one starting position battle that really exists on the team, like obviously we'll see like Gallup and Noah Brown. They're all going to be in a rotation at that wide receiver two, if you will, spot. Debo's in kind of his own bucket is whatever he is. He's like the true wide receiver two. But in terms of the guy who's going to get the second most targets at that position behind Terry. But like the one position battle that actually exists for a starting spot on the roster is going to be at right guard. And that's because Sam Cosmi's injured. The three guys to watch there, Nick Allegretti, who I would say is probably the incumbent guy shifting over from left guard to right guard, but Nate Urbig, who they brought in from Pittsburgh, and then Andrew Wiley kicking down inside. So that's going to be an interesting thing to watch. They seem to have committed to Brandon Coleman at left guard, Connerly at right tackle. Those guys will cross train a little bit, but I'm excited to see kind of how that plays out. Any other things that you're really watching for offensively? I mean, we haven't even talked really that much about Jaden. We just kind of take it for granted how good he is, but anything else offensively, Jaden, line, otherwise you want to talk about before we wrap up here?
Yeah, I think that's the other thing. You know, obviously the line is, we talked, to me, that's the main storyline, you know, kind of in conjunction with the receivers, like, you know, the depth chart there and how that works out, how they come together. But I think Jaden, I'm just curious to see how the offense looks in year two. Like, what steps has Kliff taken to add, you know what I mean? And, you know, like to help Jaden grow. And I think he did such a good job of managing what he was asking Jaden to do last year, and Jaden did a good job handling it. So like as a coach, I think this is like for Kliff, like the $1 million question is like, he did excellent with this. I can't keep it this because we have to take a step, but how big is the step and what does the step look like? And so what are we now emphasizing from the playbook, right? Like, you know, we did a lot of quick game, a lot of RPO, a lot of kind of pre-snap run reads. We were really run focused to kind of offload some of that stuff. Do we get into a more of a, you know, kind of traditional NFL model of saying, hey, like we can get into some dropback stuff on first down, right? Because we trust Jaden's going to make the right decision. These are the concepts that he likes to see. Can we call those a little bit more frequently? So that's something that I think is going to be really, really interesting to watch, especially going through training camp. Like what is the offensive staff emphasizing for Jaden to maximize him? And then how does that, because again, you know, we always talk about how it kind of, the offseason kind of goes in phases. You have your OTA mini camp, right, where you kind of try some stuff out. Training camp, you're kind of a little bit more concrete. And then you get into the season, it's like the first three games, this worked, this didn't. And then it kind of sets the table for the rest of the year. So that's something that I'm really interested about. And we've talked about some of the things they could do with the offensive line improvement or projected improvement. But yeah, that him, Jaden, is going to be such a big driver in, obviously, in this team's success. And so like, what has the staff, they've done such a good job of insulating him. How do they kind of continue to watch his maturity going into year two? Cause again, we've seen CJ Stroud struggle, right? We've seen guys struggle in year two. Like, how do you kind of make sure that this is a seamless process and you win a bunch of games? Cause he feels very comfortable.
Yeah, and as we've talked about a lot throughout the offseason, don't have a ton of concern that the CJ Stroud thing is going to happen, because unlike where Houston had a mess of an offensive line in year one and kind of a mess of a structure offensively at CJ, and CJ was able to overcome a lot of that stuff on third down and just like be awesome, like the Commanders had some of that, but not as bad as Houston did. And they upgraded, like they made everything easier and they improved the structure around Jaden Kliff, a much more experienced and better play caller than Bobby Slowick was. But then I think the other kind of funny thing is, like, we're talking about this structure and can they more NFL it? They also made the easy buttons better.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we have Deebo Samuel. Just throw him the ball and watch him run. Like, they want to make sure that those easy buttons still exist, because if you can have success with very minimal risk and easy buttons, why would you have to add and invite more variance and more risk into the offense? And so I think that they understand we're really good at this stuff. Mm-hmm. So, like, if we can have a high reward, low risk, why wouldn't we do that? And a guy like Deebo goes a long way. Jalen Lane in the long run, hopefully, or maybe even the short term, with what kind of weapon and speeds that he's got. That's a guy that is going to be helpful. And then we'll obviously see what they have for Terry schemed up in year two, assuming that the contract gets done. All right, so that's our show for this week. Hope you feel very ready for training camp. I am on the road and out, so I will not be able to be at training camp, but Logan will be. So I will ask you all of the questions that you want to know of someone of Logan Paulson's caliber that was at training camp on our show at the end of the week. So we're probably looking at Thursday or Friday for that. So make sure you're subscribed. As soon as the episode hits, you will get it. Of course, you can watch us on YouTube at the Team 980 and at 106.7 The Fan as well. And then next week, just we're in it. Like, we're in more training camp stuff, and we will continue to evaluate what's going on. We'll do maybe some roster projections, all that kind of stuff. We might still hit a few mailbag questions, although that's mostly an off-season thing. We have a couple good ones that are saved up, but if you have something you think is relevant, you want to send it in, go right ahead. All right, that's it. That's all for Logan. I'm Craig. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on Take Command.